Ephesians chapter number 4. We'll begin in verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What a goal! Isn't that something? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. We read much more than we'd ever be able to preach on or digest in one evening. But it's just good to read the Bible. And Lord, as we visit this Scripture throughout the night, as we pull out some principles, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to use this message as a reset button, to reset, Lord, the direction of the church, to present clearly the vision for the church. And Lord, we pray to become even more than we are now, to become, please, Lord, a soul-winning church. And so, Lord, I would ask that you'd minister to the heart of each and every one. There's many folks, Lord, that have a lot of needs. And, Lord, we saw a lot of victories today, and we received some good news from a far country. And, Lord, there's just been a lot of sweet things. And Lord, I pray that even now you'd help us to focus completely on the preaching of the Bible. And Lord, I pray that you'd do a work in our heart. Dear Holy Spirit, work within us, Lord, and help us as we hear the Word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. We're going to revisit the Scripture in just a few minutes. Let me present the direction of the message. I'm going to preach on this subject, very simply, a soul-winning church. A soul-winning church. Now, say, Brother Jerry, what's that, a denomination? Oh, no. Maybe we ought to start it, though. That wouldn't be a bad denomination to have. A soul-winning church. No, I don't think we need another denomination. What we need to do is get back to the Bible. I believe that every church, if it's going to be a scriptural church, needs to be a soul-winning church. A soul-winning church. Now, let me define what that means. I believe that a church, if it is doing what God has commanded us to do, that the work and energies of the church will result in people coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let me say something very emphatically. I'm not judging. I'm not putting our church on a pedestal. Folks, trust me. I believe that as the pastor of the church, I'm to know the state of our flock. I believe that in this area, we have much area to grow and to improve. I believe you probably feel that in your own personal Christian life. Brother Jerry, I believe in this matter of winning people to Christ and being as effective as we ought to be in winning people to Christ. I feel like personally I need to grow. I feel that way. So this isn't a statement of haughtiness. But let me say this. There's something fundamentally and scripturally wrong with an assembled body of believers that meet week in, week out, consistently and constantly, and never see somebody come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's something wrong there. There's something fundamentally wrong there. And God intended the church to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God set the church as a lighthouse. And if the light's shining bright, lost people will be drawn to Jesus Christ. And so one of the goals that we've got to to maintain here, one of the things we've got to talk about, and I'm going to give you some just very practical things tonight, is that we need to, all of us, each and every one of us in the church here, we need to set as a goal to see to it that we contribute to making our church a soul-winning church. I like seeing the baptismal waters stirred. I like seeing people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I like to see God work, bring conviction of sin, and bring people to Christ. I love people, the fact that there's people that are testifying on a regular basis. I found Jesus Christ. I got saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I was saved because somebody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church came by and talked to me. J.R.'s family called me, Brother Bo, and left me a message and wanted to know for sure that we were going to baptize him this morning. And, of course, folks sometimes don't know what they're saying, but they left a message, and I had to laugh. They said, J.R. wanted to be baptized. I'm sorry, I keep saying J.R. J.K. wanted to be baptized, and this is one of his relatives. I can't remember who it was. And then she kind of hesitated. She said, well, Brother Bo saved him last week, and he wants to be baptized. And so we all can laugh at that because we know that Brother Bo didn't save him. But Brother Bo did take the Bible and show him and talk to him about someone who could save him, who would save him. And that's what being a soul winner is. A soul winner and being a soul winner is learning, being taught and trained to be able to use the Bible and lead somebody else to Jesus Christ, of having some of a Bible discernment and sensitivity to be able to discern when somebody's under conviction, when somebody, the Father is wooing them, and to be able to be skilled enough in the usage of the Bible to be able to say, let me sit down with you and show you some scriptures and show you exactly how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I believe one of the reasons, let me say this, that we have a soul-winning church to the extent we do is because we have a number of our people that are trained soul winners. You know, there's many people in this room that if somebody came forward tonight and said, I want to be saved, I could look around the auditorium, I could point to many people in our church, and I could say, hey, could you come here and bring your Bible? Could you show this person how to be saved? There's others in our church. And by the way, I used to go to church very regularly, did for a lot of years, and it would have been true of me this for a long time in my Christian life, that if somebody would have turned around and said, hey, bring your Bible, come over here and show this person how to be saved, I wouldn't have not even known where to start. I wouldn't have known where to begin. And so there's nothing wrong with that, being in that situation. But let me encourage you, this is something that you can learn. This is something that you can be taught. This is something you can be trained to do. And that way, no matter where you're at, whether it's church, whether it's outside of the church, if you have an opportunity to witness, you will be able to take the Bible and show someone how to be saved. And so that's the goal. A soul-winning church is a soul-winning church because it is a church with full of soul winners. And so let me give you several things. These are going to be very practical things, and we will be revisiting some of the portion of Scripture as we go through the message. But let me go ahead and get into the outline, and then we will apply Scripture as we go along. Number one, soul-winning, I believe this, soul-winning and becoming a soul-winning church must start with a vision. Must start with a vision. And let me say this, folks. That vision must come from the pastor, and it must be embraced by the people. The vision must come from the pastor. It must be embraced by the people. And I believe this. I'm the one that has the calling. I'm the one that has the privilege of walking to this pulpit. If I'm not consistently challenging our church to win the lost to Jesus Christ, then I'm not doing my job. You say, why do some churches never see somebody saved? I can tell you one of the reasons. Just go ahead and get the tapes of the last 52 weeks of Sunday morning preaching or Sunday night preaching. If you never hear a message on the importance of reaching the lost, you're probably not going to think it's very important. And you know what? If the vision is not presented by the leadership in the church, the vision isn't presented from the pulpit, if that vision isn't presented, then soul winning is not going to be considered something that's important, something to be pursued, something to be sought after, something to be done. So the vision must come from the pastor. The vision must be, and let me just give you this. Let me just give you my fanciful vision. I really mean this. I long and pray and ask God for the day that every church member, every single person that attends Blessed Hope Baptist Church learns how and chooses to become an effective witness for Jesus Christ. I don't believe that soul winning and the ability to win someone to Christ is something that's just supposed to be trained and taught to a few in the church. I believe that everyone here can be a soul winner. You can be taught, you can be trained how to be a soul winner, and you can learn that. Oh, Brother Jerry, but I'm older, and it doesn't make any difference. There's a lot of folks that didn't learn how to be a soul winner until they were older, and sometimes they end up being some of the best soul winners in the church. And, Brother Jerry, I wasn't raised here. Man, it would have been easier if I'd have gone up through the youth group and gone to youth soul winning and been trained. I know it would have been easier, but you can still do it. And you can learn at any time in your life. And I believe that if you want to define a soul winning church, or if you want to say to what extent is that church a soul winning church, well, show me the number of people that are trained and are effective in soul winning, and I'll tell you to the extent that church is a soul winning church. You see, you may be attending a soul winning church, but not be a soul winner. And I'm going to challenge you. I mean, this is my job, to stand here in the pulpit in the next few weeks and to challenge you, to teach you, if you will allow me to get you some training, because this is something you can learn and this is something that you can do. And one of the greatest joys that you'll ever experience in life is allowing God to use you in a divine appointment where there is a lost person that comes to you and wants to be saved, and you take the Bible, share the Scripture with them, pray with them, and watch them receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm going to tell you something, buddy, that's one of the greatest experiences you'll ever experience in your life. You want to, listen, you can have all the drugs, they can have all the alcohol, they can talk about all the ways to get high. If you want to experience a spiritual high, that's just about the biggest spiritual high somebody can experience in the world. So number one, soul winning must start with a vision. Let me give you a second thought. Number two, soul winning must be the central theme and mission of the church. Soul winning must be the central theme and mission of the church. Now, let me go back to our scriptures. We have it open. This is, of course, a letter written to the church of Ephesus, to the Ephesian people, but these were members of a local assembled body of believers to a local church. And the Bible says this: He gave some apostles and prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, why are we given? Brother Jerry, why are you given to the church? Notice this, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. That's talking about maturing. That's talking about growing in grace. For the work of the ministry, to train people to be able to be effective in the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And then also for the edifying of the body of Christ. All of these things work together. And if you'll do these things, what will happen if you'll allow the pastor, if you'll allow evangelists as we bring evangelists in, if you allow teachers as they open the Bible and teach, if you allow us to do these things, you'll continue to grow up in the Lord. You'll become equipped for the ministry, to work in the ministry and to be effective in ministering and reaching people for Christ. You'll be edified and built up and strengthened as far as just in your own Christian life, so that there's a solidness to you. The Bible talks about that in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And folks, listen to me, you won't be fooled by any Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes along with some false doctrine and a few Bible verses that's trying to get you off track. You're not going to be blown away when somebody says, well, I just don't believe what they teach at that church down there, and I don't believe this, that, and the other. Of course, they've never been to our church. That always amazes me. Folks want to tell me, I talked to somebody this week, well, I just don't believe what you teach at that church. I said, have you ever been there? Well, no. And I told them this. I said, you know what? Listen to me. I said, if you're going to make a judgment call, you ought to at least come see. I said, you're basing what you say you believe about our church, forgive me, but this is the truth, on idle, cheap, small-town gossip by a bunch of people that are either jealous or carnal. Now, before you make up your mind about a ministry, you ought to at least slip in the door once to see if God's there or not, see what's really happening, not what just a bunch of people are saying is happening. I don't know about you, but I think I sensed the presence of God this morning. Folks are being saved. Folks are being baptized. The Word of God's being preached. Yeah, we stand for some things because the Bible stands for them. And so just be careful about that. But what I'm saying is this. If you get under a good, solid Bible preaching and teaching, it's going to grow you up in the Lord. It's going to make you solid. It's going to make it so that you're not blown around with every wind of doctrine and every naysayer that comes along. You just, you know, crumble in their presence. And so this is what the job is. Now, let me point out two things, or a few things for you in this portion of Scripture. I want you to see that this is my job. This is part of my responsibility. We're to perfect, we're to prepare for the work of the ministry, we're to edify the body of Christ. Notice verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that means a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now folks, listen to me, my success in the ministry and your success as a Christian is how much you allow the teaching and preaching of God's Word to grow you up and to allow you to become as Christ-like as possible. Now, we preached an entire message this morning on this subject. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You cannot claim Christ's likeness if you are not busy seeking to win people to Jesus Christ. If you are not busy getting the gospel of Jesus Christ, as you can walk around and pat yourself on the back and talk about how spiritual you are, how much like Jesus you are, but you need to read the Gospels. Christ wandered this earth. And Christ came in contact with people to save their soul. Winning mankind was the mission. The greatest thing that Christ was concerned about was the winning of lost. The reason He discipled believers was to get them to the point where they could win the lost. And so we can talk about all the other things. And there are other things that we certainly learn from Jesus Christ. But let me say this, the main thing is winning souls. And so this is what we need to be busy about doing. Notice verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Growing up in Jesus Christ, growing up into Him in all things includes evangelism, includes winning people to Christ. Notice this, if we do this consistently, notice verse 16, it's very important. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to effectual working in the measure of every part. Notice this next phrase. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know what a healthy church is? A growing church. A healthy church is a church that because they are becoming Christ-like, they have a burden for the lost. And you show me a church that's becoming Christ-like, I'll show you a church that's concerned about lost people. I'll show you a church that increases. Notice this. It says, maketh increase of the body. So the church, by growing into Christ's likeness, a result of that is that they get a burden for the lost, and as a result of that, they increase the body because they are winning people to Jesus Christ. Now, what I wanted to show you was this. Listen, stop trying to redefine your pastor's responsibilities and jobs into areas that are unscriptural. One of these days, I may just take about 2 months and educate our church as far as what my job description really is according to the Bible. I appreciate all of you coming up with your own list, but I've got a list from God. And I'm more concerned about doing those things than what you think a pastor ought to do or say or be. And so, but one of the things is to bring you to maturity, to challenge you, to teach you, to train you. And of course, if we're going to do that, and if that happens, then the church body will become more Christ-like. And by becoming more Christ-like, we're going to become more burdened for souls, more active in winning the lost, and as a result, we will make increase of the body of Christ. And so, a church that's not a soul-winning church is a dying church. A church that's not a soul-winning church is a disobedient church. I mean, you can just mark the days. It's set in. It's not long for this earth. You're not winning new families, winning young couples, winning teenagers, bringing children to saving knowledge of Christ. You're not feeding the body. It's not increasing. A bunch of saints that are saved but have no concern for the lost are going to sit there together and wither away. And so Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to stay a soul-winning church and to increase and to ask God to do more to make us a soul-winning church. So number one, soul-winning church starts with a vision. Number two, soul-winning must be the central theme and mission of the church. Now, don't try to redefine that. It's not entertainment. It's not fellowship. I'm not against some of these things. I'm really not much for the entertainment. But I'm not against the fellowship. I'm not against the discipleship. There's other things besides this that the church is to do. But this is the primary. This is the theme. This is the priority of the church. Now, let me give you number three. Soul winning must be taught, and soul winners must be trained. If you're going to have a soul winning church, then soul winning must be taught, and soul winners must be trained. Let me encourage all of you. It's very possible for you to become an effective witness for Jesus Christ. You can learn how to be a soul winner. You can learn it by being taught how, and you can learn it by being trained how. Soul winning must be taught, and soul winners must be trained. Now, I'm going to take the next several Wednesday nights, and I'm not going to put a time limit on it. We're going to see what God does. We will have probably an interruption on our veterans service. I won't be preaching on this. I think we may have one other guest in November. But for the most part, I'm going to take the next several Sunday nights, and I'm going to just teach you how to be a soul winner and give you some very practical teaching on how to be a soul winner. If you can't right now take the Bible and open it up and talk to a lost person and show them from the Scriptures how to be saved, if you'll come and I'll provide you some material. We're going to have some things that we'll pass out. There will be materials available to you. It's like anything else. Mitchell, it's like playing football. You know what? If you don't practice, you're not going to be good at it. If you put the time in on this, if you learn, if you'll be willing to be taught and trained, you can be pretty good at it. If you just sit and listen and don't do anything about it, you know what? A year from now, you'll probably be in the same place you are now as far as not winning anybody to Christ or having much effect for the Lord. And so let me just say that. Soul winning must be taught and soul winners must be trained. Again, this is part of the responsibility of the leadership in the church, evangelists, pastors, teachers coming in, teaching, challenging, talking about winning the world of Jesus Christ. This is something you can learn through teaching and training. Through teaching and training. Let me tell you what's great about learning how to be a soul winner. Not only does soul winning benefit and minister to those that are lost, but soul winning benefits and ministers to you in your own Christian life. You know, Brother Reiser mentioned this here, I think when he preached the other night, we talked about it privately, but one of the great things about putting on our youth revival and our youth evangelistic outreach to our public school kids is not just what it done in the 50-some-odd young people that came to Christ, but what it did in our hearts of our own young people. Let me tell you something. You talk about a spiritual shot in the arm. If you will begin to allow yourself to be taught and trained and learn how to win people to Christ, it's not only going to benefit that person that you win or that you witness to, but also it's going to help you in your Christian life. You will grow so much by just getting involved in this. And so let this minister to you. So soul winning must be taught. Soul winners must be trained. You must be willing to be taught, willing to be trained if you're going to be an effective soul winner. All right, number four, let me give you this. The pulpit, I believe this, the pulpit must sound out often the importance of reaching the lost. Now, folks, I know I've already kind of covered this under the vision, but let me just make this a separate point. Part of the job of this pulpit is to consistently challenge the congregation of the importance of reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. I mentioned a minute ago, you show me what's preached from the pulpit, and I pretty much tell you what kind of church you've got. If there's never a word said in 52 weeks about the importance of winning the lost, nobody in that church is going to think it's important to win the lost. If you never hear a sermon on hell, no one's going to get stirred up to the fact that people are going to hell. You see, I believe in getting back into our pulpits and preach on the core doctrines of the faith that stir us that are saved to want to see other people saved. I think we need to preach on the rapture. We need to remind ourselves that we may not have another week or 2 weeks or 5 weeks or 5 months to win that lost loved one or neighbor or co-worker to Jesus Christ. These are the doctrines that stir us in our faith. These are the doctrines that cause us to want to be busy about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hell is a real place. You know, we had guests here this morning, Brother Jerry. I can't believe you brought up the subject of hell. I can't believe preachers have guests in their church and visitors and won't bring up the subject of hell. Mercy sakes alive, folks. I mean, I was more than happy, and we did certainly, and I think we did a great job doing it, want to honor those folks. But you know what? There's no smoke and mirrors. It's in everything that we do. The fingerprints are all over it. We never make apologies. That the underlying reason for doing everything we do here is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. Get the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. So the pulpit must sound out the importance of reaching the lost. Don't get tired of your preacher stirring you up about winning souls. Don't get hard-hearted to the doctrines of hell and the second coming of Jesus Christ. The pulpit must sound out the urgency of reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. Because the honest truth is, we have no idea how much more time we have. Am I the only one that's seeing the handwriting on the wall? No, I'm not. Because discerning Christians are talking about it everywhere. Not just preachers, those people in the pew. I'm telling you what, I don't know how many times I've heard people talk about the upcoming election and the state of affairs and some of the things that are happening. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's being set up. Jesus Christ is going to come back. Now, when that trumpet sounds, people that are saved are going. People that are lost are going to enter the tribulation period. That ought to bother us as Christians. Well, praise God I'm saved. Well, I praise God I'm saved too. But what about that lost family member? What about that lost friend? Listen, I believe that the rapture is so close that when you are used of God to win a soul to Christ, we will not just see them saved from hell. We'll see that person saved from having to go through the tribulation period. I believe that. I believe that. I didn't tell Brother Bo this, but in our invitation this morning, two members of JK's family raised their hand, said that they prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, if they understood the gospel and they did that and they meant that, you realize if the rapture happens tomorrow, that they wouldn't go. You realize if we didn't make an effort to reach them, they would have gone into the tribulation period. Folks, that's not a joke. Read about it. Study the book of Revelation. You realize what people are going to have to go through during the tribulation period. Now, why do we talk about these things? To stir the church. Why do we not ignore those portions of Scripture? Because, listen, folks, and I know I'm preaching to folks that already believe this, but some of you need to have this reinforced in your life. Some of you are too excited about some of these watered-down contemporary, quote-unquote, churches where these subjects are never breached and never talked about. Just because you fill up a basketball stadium with a bunch of people don't mean that they're getting the gospel. It don't mean that they're saved. A large portion of them, if somebody don't start preaching the gospel, the rapture is going to happen. They're just going to come back the next Sunday and be going into the tribulation period. This is not a joke. And so we've got to preach on these things, and we've got to stir. Let ourselves be stirred by these core doctrines of the Bible. Let me give you number five. Soul winning. And this is important. I want you to get this. I'm giving you a philosophy tonight. I'm trying to get you some things that I hope will help you. Number five. Soul winning is not just a scheduled weekly event, but a consistent lifestyle. Soul winning is not a scheduled weekly event, but a consistent lifestyle. Now, when I talk about training people to be soul winners, what I mean is this. Training somebody how to take the Bible and show someone how to be saved, but also training them and teaching them how to incorporate that ability and use that ability every single time that the Lord opens up the door in the course of the week. Now, I'm all for scheduled soul winning. I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But let me say this. There's a lot of soul winning opportunities that are going to come your way outside of the few hours of scheduled soul winning at Blood Throat Baptist Church. Matter of fact, many more will come your way in the everyday events of life than you can count up on just going the door-to-door soul winning. Again, I'm not against that, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But if you train somebody to be a soul winner, then they realize this is not something they learn so that they can use it an hour a week, but this is something they learn that they can be ready to do at any moment of any day throughout the week, then, boy, we've unleashed on this community a force for Jesus Christ. See, there's a difference between going soul winning and being a soul winner. There's a difference between going soul winning and being a soul winner. Many soul winning opportunities are the result of relationships established in everyday life. And so, thank God, and I'm all for door-to-door soul winning. Call it cold turkey, call it confrontational, call it whatever you want to do. I'm 100% for it. I know it's Bible. But I believe also there's opportunities that come across our path every single day. And if we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we may not always have that opportunity to pull a Bible out and carefully go through the Scriptures, but we can plant seed, we can water seed, and we can be a witness for Jesus Christ. So soul winning is not just a scheduled weekly event, but a consistent lifestyle. Now let me give you number six. Think about this. I do want to talk to you a little bit about the systematic organized soul winning program of the church. A systematic organized soul winning program is the only way, I believe, is the only way to ensure what I call gospel saturation in the community. And I've heard people want to argue this. Well, what I just said a minute ago becomes the excuse for many Christians to never be involved in a systematic, organized soul winning program of the church. Well, Brother Jerry, let's just all be Holy Spirit-led. Let's not have any organized soul winning. Let's just go about our duties and our day. Let's look for opportunities and spread the gospel. Well, folks, we're supposed to be doing that anyway. But on top of that, what we want to do is we want to have a systemized, organized program where we get the gospel to every door in the community. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, folks, I believe in throwing in all kinds of nets. But we cannot become enamored with some out-of-the-box ministry and neglect door-to-door soul winning. I'm for out-of-the-box ministry. I mean that. I'm for trying anything to get the gospel to somebody as long as it's not unscriptural or illegal or immoral. But I'm going to tell you this. I believe also that the Bible in the book of Acts teaches us that they went house to house. They went door to door. They systematically took the gospel throughout the neighborhoods and the regions round about in their area of service. Now, let me say this again. You know, we have radio broadcasts here, and I'm for radio, and I'm for preaching the gospel on the radio. But you know what? Not every door, not every home in this area is going to turn on a Christian radio station. And so that's not going to work. I'm for any other thing you want to talk about. But let me say this, folks. The only way I believe the Blessed Hope Baptist Church can stand before God and not have blood on our hands in this community is to get the gospel to every door. Now, we can do it fast or we can do it slow. We're going to do it as quickly as we have the number of people involved that's willing to do it. Young people, listen to me. When you're out soul winning, first of all, get here on time. Brother Reiser, leave on time. Don't come back early. Come back at a right time, but maximize that time. We need to be busy about it. It's important. And if you do it, and you do it right, and you do it as you're trained, you've got a great opportunity. We used to be able to get to every door in about a year's time. We've extended that somewhat. We don't have quite the size of the youth group, but I think we've extended it too much. Are you piddling? Are you playing? Are you seeing how short you can go so you can get to the restaurant? Or are you out there to go soul winning? Are you out there to go soul winning? I don't want to see the soul winning bus back here at 6 o'clock unless there's a reason to be back at 6. When you could be back at 6:30, you just stole 30 minutes of spreading the gospel. I want to have them back here enough time where they got a chance to freshen up and whatnot. But I want to get as many doors as possible. Okay? When I go out on Saturday morning, I'm not trying to see how slow I can move so I don't have to talk to very many people. I want to maximize my opportunity. I want to do as much as I can for the Lord. Now, everybody, of course, different abilities and whatnot, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that, but let's be serious about it. I want to get to that next door. I want to give everything I've got to that visitation opportunity. Then I want to move on to the next door. You don't know who's behind those doors. You don't know who's behind those doors. I'm not going to purposely embarrass them, but Brother Reiser was out with our teens, and he dropped all of the teenagers off. And you know what, Brother Reiser, if he wanted to, could have looked at his watch and said, you know, it's not going to be that long before I got to pick them up, so I'll just wait here in the bus and I'll go pick them up. But he didn't. Recently in Linton, he jumped out, knocked on the door. A man by the name of Don Harper came to the door, and they began to talk. Brother Harper at that time was lost. He was looking. He went that week to talk to a preacher about how to be saved. Didn't get the answer he needed. And you know what? You don't know who's waiting behind the door. God brought a soul winner to a prepared heart that was searching. And he showed him the gospel, and Don Harper got saved. And he's sitting there with his wife and with his grandson tonight. You know why? Because we were obedient in this matter of winning souls and going out and just sharing the gospel. Now, what I'm saying is this, folks. We can't be lax about that. Well, we've got to understand systematic, organized soul winning program, door to door. You know what? It's sometimes not real exciting. A lot of times it is very exciting. A lot of times you're going to go out there and you're going to plant water and you may not see someone saved every time. That's okay. But delivering the gospel to that door. Let me give you the testimony of our former mayor's wife. Mrs. Clark told me one time, I was just in there dropping off some things at the paper when Dorman Clark was still mayor. And she was telling me about a lady that lived over on Park Street. And she said, I think Park Dorm, maybe Meridian. And but she had talked about this lady that passed away this week. And she said, you know what? I was so worried about whether or not she was saved. And she said, I don't really have any reason to believe she was saved. And then the thought came to me, I wonder if anybody's ever gone to her house and given her the gospel. And she said, you know what? I immediately thought of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I thought, you know what? One thing can be said. Nobody's going to live in Jacksonville, Indiana for any length of time where somebody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church didn't come by and give the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. Is that going to be true in 2 years? Is that going to be true in 5 years? The fewer we have going, the less we can cover. How long is it going to be before we can get back to Jacksonville? I'll tell you the answer to that. How many soul winners do we have? How many people are willing to go? How many are be able to involve themselves in systematic soul winning? And so a systematic, organized soul winning is the only way to ensure gospel saturation. I want to stand before Jesus one of these days and say, Lord, and I hope you'll, this is your heart. Lord, we as a church, you know what? We set as a goal to take the gospel consistently, regularly, systematically to every person in our Jerusalem. And Lord, we were faithful in doing that. We weren't delinquent in that. And by the way, Lord, I was a part of that. That ought to be the heartbeat, and it is the heartbeat of a soul-winning church. Let me give you the last one, number 7. Let's review. Soul-winning starts with a vision. That must come from the pastor. Soul-winning must be a central theme and mission of the church. Soul-winning must be taught. Soul-winners must be trained. Number 4, the pulpit must sound out often the importance of reaching the lost. Number 5, soul-winning is not a scheduled weekly event, but a consistent lifestyle. Number 6, a systematic, organized soul-winning program is the only way to ensure gospel saturation. Number 7, let me view this. An effective soul-winning program must be supported by an efficient discipleship program. Let me say that again. An effective soul-winning program must be supported by an efficient discipleship program. I want to say a couple words on this, and we'll conclude for tonight. Let me say this. Following up on the souls we are allowed to win is as much a part of the Great Commission as preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't miss this. Let me say that again. Following up on the souls we're allowed to win is as much a part of the Great Commission as the preaching of the gospel. Now, folks, listen to me. The Great Commission commands us to teach and preach the gospel to every creature. But the Bible goes on to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded thee. We're to win people to Christ, but then we're to then go after them and take the time. Bus captains, if you were giving people off your route, they got saved during the youth soul winning, and you haven't gone back yet, and you haven't followed up on them and trying to get them baptized, then you're falling short. Brother Reiser's putting time in it, but you've got to understand, Brother Reiser can't do it all. He can't, in 1 week, show up and follow up on 53 new converts. And so we need help. We need you involved. We need you talking about it. We have had a lot of our folks doing that, and we are seeing the result of that, and we've got people that got baptized this morning as a result of that. We've got some that are going to be baptized next week as a result of receiving Christ as their Savior. This is something we must do. But wait a minute, then we're not done. We're not done. Well, we need to work with them and help them, encourage them, getting them to the teaching and preaching of the Bible so that they can grow up, perfecting the saints. Why? So that they can become more like Christ. Why? So that they can learn how to win other people to Jesus Christ. That's how we keep the things going. Let me just say this. I want to say it out loud. I'm not concerned about grand numbers. I'm concerned about sowing the seed. I'm concerned about watering. I'm concerned about seeing God give the increase. I'm not concerned about just producing fruit, but I'd like to produce fruit that remains. And so what we're going to do is, yes, teach on soul winning, but you know what? That's not the only job we have. That's priority, getting the lost people, getting the gospel to the lost. But you know what? We also have to be involved in discipling those that are saved. Now, listen to me, folks, and we'll be done. Look right up this way. We challenge you tonight about this idea of becoming a soul-winning church even more than we are. I want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be a soul winning church. Here's the question. Are you willing to allow God to work in your heart? Are you willing to grow and to learn and to be trained to become a soul winner yourself? That's the question. Because every single one of us needs to be busy in the harvest. Jesus said, I need you to pray about something to his disciples. I want you to pray about something. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. He'll send forth laborers unto his harvest. He said, listen, the harvest is plenteous. That's not the problem. The laborers are few. That's the problem. And so I would ask even tonight, as we bow our head and close our eyes, that you'd allow the Lord to work on your heart. Take a moment with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's just take a moment. And let me ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to stir your heart. It doesn't make any difference where you're at. You may say, Brother Jerry, I don't even know how to take the Bible and show someone how to be saved. Well, are you willing to be taught? Are you willing to be trained? Are you willing to come and apply yourself and learn? Brother Jerry, I've been trained to do that, but I've been somewhat delinquent in it. Brother Jerry, I do it, but I probably don't do it as much or as effectively or as heartfelt as I ought to. And Brother Jerry, what you said about lifestyle soul winning as compared to scheduled weekly, I've just allowed my soul winning efforts to be restricted to just a few hours a week instead of carrying it into every part of my life. Whatever the Lord spoke to your heart about, let him stir some things in you. I want you to develop a hunger and a desire to be used of God to win the lost. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us and for Lord being here in our presence. And Lord, we can't know Christ and become like Christ like we ought to. We can't spend much time around the Savior without picking up on his heartbeat, his concern for the lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that, which is that was his heartbeat. Christ walked this earth. He's constantly looking for someone to bring to himself. Lord, we are also, Lord, and have been commanded and commissioned to pick up that mantle and to go forward and to be those that spread the gospel. And I pray, Lord, that you stir our hearts. This preparatory message, as we now, in the next several Sunday nights and weeks to come, do more of a nuts and bolts teaching. I pray, Lord, that you'd take this message and stir something in our hearts tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name.